afternoon, you're listening to Talk Shop. It's your board op, Mr. Damien here. Wait on Brian, we'll be here in just a moment in the studio with Eureka City Manager, Mr. Greg Sparks. Greg, how you doing today?
I'm doing just great.
Great. What do you want to talk about today?
Well, as anyone who ever listens to the show knows that Brian has a very freewheeling style, so you never quite know where it's going to go. So, I don't know. It's April. I'm thinking baseball, but for most people who know me, someone who came from the Midwest, I'm a Minnesota Twins fan, and the Twins are picked to finish last. So
that's right. Yeah, I heard about that.
Even with a new manager in Paul Molitor, Hall of Fame manager, I should say Hall of Fame player. We'll see how he is as a manager. Had the greatest baseball mind there is, but boy, without starting pitching, it's awfully tough.
Right. Are you a Giants fan by any chance? You're in Northern California now.
How can you not like the Giants team when you watch that World Series last year, and as well as the three out of the last 5 years? So, I'd feel like, though, to say I'm a Giants fan, I'm like a Johnny come lately jumping on the bandwagon. I've been a Twins fan since I was 10 years old in 1965 when they lost to the Dodgers in 7 games.
Oh, man.
Sandy Koufax pitched game 7 on 2 days' rest and shut out the Twins. So, the older fans, baseball fans out there, might recall that.
Right. That's a little bit before my time.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll talk baseball. We'll see what else is going on in the city after this break. You're listening to KINS.
The best Spanish language station on the North Coast is Juan 790. Tune in to 790 AM for great music, sports from ESPN, and CNN News en Español. If you're a business owner, ask Juan to connect you with the Spanish-speaking community. You'll be glad you did. Visit Juan online at juan790.com or give us a call at 442-5744. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:15. We're back to Talk Shop with more than just the Minnesota Twins. But yeah, I sense you're going to try to weave it in, aren't you? Because right now they're undefeated.
Boy, that probably once we get one game into the season, that will not be the case.
And I noticed you weren't talking about the Minnesota Timberwolves.
I was a bit of a Timberwolves fan when Kevin Garnett first came to the Timberwolves.
First time around, yeah.
And it goes to prove the point that when you can trade a superstar for 5-6 mediocre players and you do not get fair value, because I think the Celtics got the better of that deal.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, did you guys do a quote or were you just waxing baseball?
Just waxing.
All right. Let's see. Here we go. Fran Lebowitz, quote, "Success didn't spoil me. I've always been insufferable." There you go. All right. So, happy Easter to both of you guys, by the way, before things get rolling too far along here. Greg, I got to think, when you're looking at Eureka, well, let me step back and ask.
Yeah.
Is it what you expected?
But I'll answer that probably, of course, in a roundabout way, because I remember the first time being on your program, you said, "But I want to get your perspective for someone who just got to town before you've been here a while and you get used to
contamination."
Use the word contamination or something to that effect. And there's certainly parts of it that are what I expected, but there's a big part of the job that isn't. When you're the city manager of Eureka, and I'd say the same thing for Chief Mills, I'm sure police department and those of us staff-wise, we deal with the issue of homelessness and crime and transience and what that does to our resources, probably to a very huge degree. And and it's one of those circular kind of issues. I mean, you start here and you go all around the circle and you're back where you started. Actually, just in the last day, sent off a letter of opposition from the city of Eureka to a right to rest bill that's before the California Senate. We have enough problem dealing with enforcement on encampments and people resting in public places that we really don't need to see any additional protections put into law to tie our hands from an enforcement standpoint. On the good end, I sent out two letters today to support two pieces of legislation where the state would be more proactive in providing affordable housing and some other tools to local government to deal with the housing issue. So,
now, wait a minute, you said that the state would provide?
Yes. I just want to make sure
we heard that one right.
Yeah. A pot of funding at the state level to deal with affordable housing. Now, whether or not how much of that could trickle to Eureka, I don't know, but at least...
Or should it at all? My initial regional housing. Okay. Not every city is going to have this.
True.
It may not even be in your county, but somewhere it'll be there. And where it is, we'll find out when we come back. It's 319.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:24. Do you say Happy Good Friday or Good Friday or just Good Friday? Not sure.
Yeah,
not sure.
Probably just Good Friday.
Okay, there we go. Greg Sparks, City Manager of Eureka, is alongside this afternoon. Greg, before the break there, you were indicating that the governor or his henchman were indicating that affordable housing dollars might be available for local jurisdictions to help, I guess, ease the impact?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's to that point yet, but what it is, there's some legislation before the Senate now from actually Senator Lou and Chu and Atkins, again, that would provide local governments or communities with some additional tools for affordable housing and basically create additional funding from the state for affordable housing. So, as I mentioned just before the break about the Right to Rest Act, I mean, certainly the thing we pointed out in our letter is, you know, we don't need anything that makes it more difficult from an enforcement standpoint. We need some proactive solutions from the state of California. So it's good to see some other legislators hopefully provide something that can help us address this issue.
Okay, here comes one of your wingnut questions of the day. Yesterday, Mike Downey was on, and the sheriff said for 19 years he's been asking the state to please define 215. Across the board, uniform, what do you want us to do? How do you define? Okay. If that was in place, how much of the concern with the transients and the local demand, at least in our end of the state, for affordable housing might be alleviated?
I wish I could give you a percentage guess on that, but right, it would have an impact. Is it half? I don't know.
Would you be excited if that came down? Would it make either Chief Andy's job easier or just the entire community's job easier to define?
But imagine when you said the sheriff's been asking for that for 19 years, he hasn't gotten that definition yet.
No one is. So you still have county by county different mm-hmm. levels of determination of what is and what isn't, what qualifies, what doesn't, how is it, quote, codified.
Yeah, and I think
it's just this nebulous mercury blob in the middle of the table, and everybody takes their shot at trying to put their hands around it, and it just squeezes out.
And it kind of evolves from different court decisions that occur over time as well. So,
but not statewide.
No,
even.
I mean, you try to figure out where's the precedence being drawn, but
and which one you can source. Yeah, are there a lot of areas in state law or state funding or state structure that are similar to that, where they just kind of abdicate, is the word that leapt to my mind, the responsibility of the definition or the function of some of these different programs and just kind of go, here, handle it, And if we don't like what you came up with, we'll let you know. But handle it.
You know, at the risk of making someone upset at CalPERS, that has been a bit of our experience there. We've seen cases with employees that, you know, something's been deemed extra duty pay in the past, but now it's not. So there's times when that seems to be kind of a line that moves without without being told until after the fact. So,
oh really? There's no communication as it either is redefined or is refined?
I think it gets different interpretation by supervisors. I know from, you know, I know you have Chief Woods on the program on a regular basis, and when, you know, the JPA was, the Joint Partnership Agreement was being formed and going through trying to merge Humboldt Bay Fire and City Eureka Fire, that was just kind of a real difficult part just from the public employee pension piece of it.
Grand example, though, of why there needs to be clarity.
Yes, because you think on a statewide level, the more you can do to help create some consolidations, that's a good thing. And so why should pension law be something that keeps that from happening? Maybe it's not even necessarily the law, it's the interpretation of the law. And so the more clarity we can get at a statewide level to help encourage local government cooperations and collaborations, that would be a good thing from my standpoint.
Does the California League of Cities or the State City Managers Group, do you guys push for that kind of stuff and say, you know, if you're not going to give us money, at least make it easier for us to do our job?
Certainly from the California League of Cities. You know, the one thing probably too often we're playing defense. We're trying to beat bad legislation that comes up rather than push a legislative agenda. But we're always trying to push for more from a local control standpoint, where it isn't the state dictating back down, but that there's some recognition that local government should be partners with the state government in solving problems. And sometimes
the statewide definition of something, I would think at least that gives you guys some tools, half a chance to be able to put something together that doesn't have to change all the time.
That's right, because there's a lot of things that just go back, you know, for many years in state law, which makes it harder for municipal government, special districts to try to figure out collaborative relationships and how they can, you know, kind of move forward in the future. Because it, you know, what was set up 100 years ago doesn't need to be the model for the next 100 years.
Or maybe we need to go back to it.
Right.
Case by case. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Greg Sparks.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon. KINS News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop with the Minnesota fan, Greg Sparks. Man, you know, they talk about the Cubs being long-suffering.
Hey.
Puckett and Herbeck and those guys. Well, what, Gardenhire was a manager for?
Gardenhire was the.
How long he after was, he retired? and
Tom,
now he's gone?
Yeah, Tom Kelly was the manager of those teams. Right. Gardenhire was a
second
coach,
baseman.
Yeah.
But, boy, I almost feel sad for you. Almost.
But look at it this way. The Twins have won two World Series in my lifetime. My dad is 79 years old, and he's a Cub fan.
Uh-oh.
He and my mom watch Cub games all summer long, and they haven't won a World Series hardly in my grandfather's lifetime, let alone my dad's lifetime.
If they bring that kid up.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it.
You know, isn't that interesting? Okay, we'll deviate just for another 30 seconds here. They keep him down for 14 days. Now they don't have to offer him the big-time contract
because
they get him for another
year on arbitration and so on.
Jeez. Well, I mean, how do you find fault with anybody recognizing that as an opportunity? You do it. You
it's in the collective bargaining agreement. Yeah, then the players' union wants to complain about it.
Beat up
the
on
collective
the guys that made the
agreement.
Deal. We're just following the deal.
Right.
See you in 3 weeks. Okay, back.
Okay.
There has been discussion, Greg, I know, over the past decades about Eureka's gateways.
Mm-hmm.
Ugly was kind of what it was when Ward's had kind of shut down and it was just sitting there before Target happened, coming into town. Ugly kind of still is on the south end coming into town. I can remember there was a huge discussion at one point about putting rhododendrons. And there was a Cottage Gardens Nursery at the time existed. And those big old 50, 60-year-old rhodies, I mean, there were hundreds of them, got burnt instead of being stuck down as the gateways. Now things have changed an awful lot. You got Caltrans and their oversight, their influence, their determination, their control. Pick your favorite flavor. It doesn't matter. It's all the same. Pretty much saying what you can and can't do in California. When you look at the gateway and you close your eyes and see the picture that you want to see, forgetting the spray paint part, what is it that you see? What do you think would be the best way to introduce Eureka or welcome those coming into Eureka from the south end?
But you always have a good way of putting me on the spot. First, I'd say it's not as important about what I think, but because first we had a...
No, but you're a newbie. You still got the newbie-ish
about you.
You're right.
I've got that newbie-ish.
Yeah.
And when I first came into town, when I came here for the interview a little over a year ago, I came in the dark, so... Yeah, I didn't probably get the full perspective coming in on the south side.
So let's close the gates until it becomes dark, and then we'll open it up and let everybody in.
But
I don't think that one's going to fly.
You know, this is such a beautiful area, and I mean that sincerely. But when you, particularly as you come in from the south, where most of our tourists come in from the south into the community, it's it does not create a favorable impression. We've got
warm fuzzy is not what you walk away with.
You know, it's but between the I'm trying to think what word you would use a less politically correct word than I would regarding some of our hotels on South Broadway,
the flop hotels.
Call them the Blue Heron Twins or something. I don't know, and
you could just use the landlord's names, and I think everybody would know who you're talking
about. So that doesn't create a favorable impression. And
the wanderers across the highway
And the wanderers the panhandling at in front of the Bayshore Mall and a number of other locations as you're going up from South Broadway. So one thing, we received a grant from Caltrans to study the south entryway. And we had a public meeting. We had a public meeting on this a few weeks ago at the Wharfinger Building, very well attended from the public, from businesses, from our council. A lot of different. And we have a consultant hired. And I thought the nice thing the consultant did is they put out kind of three alternatives, because it'd be real easy with a group of 120 people to have 120 different opinions.
At least.
And. But instead, we were able to get the public to more to kind of focus on, what they like about these three kind of alternatives. And besides trying to make that south entryway more attractive, it also has a very strong purpose of how do we slow traffic down coming into Eureka. So what are some of the things you can do from a traffic calming standpoint?
Is speeding an issue, or is it the fact you're going from 65 to 45 in about a quarter mile?
You go straight from 65 to 45 with no 65 to 55 first, and from everything I understand, a number of kind of rear end accidents right at that first stoplight coming in there by Kmart.
And you want 120 first idea? F-55 started at the Humboldt Hill overpass.
And certainly that was one of the things that came
down. Yeah.
It's so common to come into a community where it gets staggered down and get people thinking about that.
And that, what does that cost you, 2 4x4s?
Yeah, it doesn't cost very much.
A couple steel signs, yeah. I just saved you hundreds of thousands of dollars of...
During the break, you talked about rhododendrons. And we had suggestions from people from everything from wildflowers to planting redwoods to someone who wanted to put... have the entire Herrick Overpass covered in vines to create this green thing to drive under.
Wrigley Field.
Wrigley Field, Herrick Avenue. So a number of ideas out there, but how do we, in terms of both create that positive first impression coming, and quite frankly, all this grant does is get us to some potential design of what this can look like. Then the matter is, do we have a project that we can take to Caltrans and get funding for? So,
and Caltrans still is the big boy on this whole project because they own and they control the whole
the right of way. It's state highway. So,
and yeah, Coastal Commission too. Do they trump the Coastal Commission?
We're particularly where we get with the Coastal Commission is the west side of 101.
But those are the folks leaving town, so you don't have to worry about that side.
Yeah, it basically cuts through 101, so it's, you know, we're
right.
It's kind of like we're okay on the the east side. Yes.
So one leg of the arch has to be, and the other leg doesn't.
About like that. As you get up on the north side of town, that line moves much further to the south. It's much further away from the water than what it is in the central and southern part of the city.
I think most people look at the south side, but was it north or west? Or I don't know what we are over here. The Arcata side.
Yeah.
You got the double slough bridges.
Yes.
But the city limits also go all the way out to Indianola.
It does, right.
So how would you define the north gateway to Eureka?
You know, I think most people look at it as, like, say, as you're coming in on those, you know, just before coming into Target. I'm not sure where you necessarily draw that line, and certainly, and what we have with this study, we only had funding to do a south entryway study. Certainly had that came up from the public as well. Gee, the north isn't so great either. but I guess that's
at least you get the bay. That's on coming into town from the north.
Yeah, that would be a future study.
Maybe that's what we have to do.
We can do.
Just do a little dig out there so you have more of the bay on the south side. See, there's two good ideas.
I am just going to put
three or four minutes.
I'm going to put you on every committee that comes up now.
Oh my word!
I don't know if we could get a council member to agree.
No, and you don't probably have enough food to keep me either. KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:45.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. There's 2 minutes left of the show. Kind of like there's 2 days left of a perfect season for the Twins.
Well, you don't have to remind me, but see, if they come in anywhere above last place, it will be a good season, I guess.
Oh, I see, yeah. So we're focusing on moral victory. All right, in that vein, how do we have a moral victory with the gateways? Do you have to do something permanent? Do you have to do something that's big and drawn out, or is at an incremental step at a time, and we get better rather than getting perfect?
You know, I've always believed that sometimes that half a loaf is better than no loaf. So the more you can try to incrementally improve, that's always a good way to go. But, you know, if there's that potential for Caltrans funding at the end of this study project, then, right, that's certainly – we want to be able to take a project to them that helps improve that south entryway.
Well, let me throw it differently to you then, Greg, since you're not agreeing with me.
Well, kind of yes.
What city that you know of has the best entryway? What would you like to have it modeled after?
Boy, you know, you'd think – I've been in California a year. I've – traveled up and down 101 between here and Los Angeles. But boy, if you had to ask me which one I think has done the best job. I'm not sure which one I would land on that, particularly if we're a little more unique than obviously the majority of them that are more where 101 is a freeway through town.
Well, I am relieved you didn't say the Golden Gate Bridge. We had the slew there. We have a little. Never mind. Thanks for coming by.
Okay, thanks, Brian.
We've been Talking Shop with Greg Sparks. Join us tomorrow. Well, tomorrow morning for Shopping Show, Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Have a pleasant, safe, and holy Easter.